Episode 483 of Global From Asia podcast. Ever wonder what it takes to go from a stable corporate job to building a seven-figure e-commerce empire? Our guest today, Cameron Alessandrini, did exactly that.
Welcome to the Global From Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight-up actionable advice.
Cameron went from a geology career to launching a clock brand on Amazon that's now doing seven figures. It all started with a $2,000 test order of chess clocks from Alibaba back in 2017. Since then, he's visited the Canton Fair, built relationships with Chinese factories, and created a line of minimalist Scandinavian desk and wall clocks.
But here's what I love about Cameron's story. He relocated from Canada to Chiang Mai, then to Bali, slashing his costs and paying off debt while building his business. He runs it as a solo operation with designers and Easy China warehouse handling 3PL.
We're going to dive deep into his Excel analytics approach, tracking sessions, conversions, tacos, profit per session, and how he lifted his margins from 14% to 20%. Plus, we'll hear about his AI experiments with Nano Banana, TikTok, Higgs Field, and ChatGPT prompts for image generation. Let's get into it.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning into our Global From Asia podcast. Actually, I don't know if I want to ruin a surprise, but we're thinking about a name change. I'll just drop that. Maybe I could talk about that with Cam. Lots of stuff. The world's changing. Life is changing. Things are changing. Cam, I've gotten to know over the last couple of years in person here in Thailand, Chiang Mai, at events and the summits, and hearing his story. So it's a real pleasure to get him on the show. Is this your maybe first podcast or?
I've done a couple.
Oh, you've done some. Okay.
Yeah. Back in the day when I was trying to sell the business, I did a podcast.
Oh, nice. Nice.
A couple of smaller ones. Yeah. Yeah.
That's still cool. But, you know, because sometimes I like to say I like to try to find the real sellers, the real business people. Like, you know, I consider you one. Like, there's a lot of times these people that do the rotations on all the shows and they're like really good at like being on podcasts and content and things like that. But, you know, I like people like you, which I consider in the trenches, practicing and in the arena. I call it the arena of selling on Amazon or selling online. We're gladiators. E-commerce players.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in the arena, man. Been there for 10 years now. So
yeah, exactly. So we're gonna talk. The title is From Side Hustle to Seven Figure E-commerce Empire. Lessons from your beginnings of a side hustle to this global business brand and empire. So Cameron, a little bit about yourself from Canada. How did you, what's your origin story here?
Yeah, so my e-commerce journey started back in 2017. It's easy for me to remember because I started selling on January 1st, 2017
is when I made
my first ever sale.
Amazing. You missed Q4 though, man. I mean,
yeah, that's true. I didn't even know what Q4 was.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So a little background about me is I'm a geologist by education. So prior to e-commerce, I spent about 8 years working in the mining industry.
Wow.
So what that entailed was I was what's called an exploration geologist. So they would send me to very remote places and I would go try to explore for mineral prospects for them to eventually build a mine. So it was really unique work. I got to spend my entire 20s living in Alaska, Northern Canada, Arctic Circle in Sweden, in some of the most remote and coldest places on the planet. Well, the work was kind of like this camp work where you'd take a bush plane into the middle of nowhere and live in these exploration camps for weeks, sometimes up to 2 or 3 months at a time, working every day. So it was interesting, but as I kind of alluded to, the work-life balance was not there. It was extreme. So decided I needed to make a pivot. So during some of my time off, I just put into Google how to make passive income or something.
Nice. I could guess almost some results maybe. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to dig into my brain as to what guru I came across, and I can't remember what they were anymore.
I have a couple guesses, but
Maybe it was like Ecom Bros
Pat
or
Flynn,
something.
or Ecom Bros, yeah, Startup Bros, Startup
Startup
Bros.
Bro. Yeah, it was Startup Bros. Yeah, that's what it
Those
was.
guys, yeah, I haven't heard from them in a while, but they were good. There was.
Not sure what happened to them, but anyways, just kind of fell down this rabbit hole. I didn't even know. Like, I was in 2017. I thought when you bought something off Amazon, that Amazon made it. Like,
Yeah.
I was a completely new
I
to
think people still
anything in
think
e-commerce.
that, right?
Oh,
Honestly, I bet
absolutely,
you people still
absolutely,
think
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I think the general public for sure. So, anyways, kind of fell down this rabbit hole and just learned everything I could about this business model. And it seemed to me like, oh man, like this could be something here. Like this could be some passive income. So, luckily, I never paid for any of these guru courses. I just kind of deep dive myself and did the research. Decided I would take a shot and make a $2,000 order on Alibaba.
All
So,
right.
I bought these chess timers. So essentially, when you're playing the game of chess and you want to use a clock, you're hitting the clock.
Yeah, speed chess. My uncle loves
Yeah.
that. I played with him when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm a chess player myself, and these were like these analog ones. They're kind of cool. So I took like the advice at the time, and it's like, like copy someone's product, but like make a little improvement. So the original product that was already selling on Amazon was just a rectangle. But I added a sturdy wooden base to mine, and
Oh,
that
I remember it. My
was
uncle hit it so far it would fall off the table because he was good.
Yeah.
He would hit it hard, like when I was a kid, and it would flip. It's like,
Yeah,
there you go.
absolutely. So I just kind of put this order in with a supplier, airshipped it into FBA. I don't even think like PPC was around, or it was like very basic. It was maybe
Yeah, I
just
think
Google.
that was around when they started to realize they could milk us for
Yeah.
that.
So anyways, kind of made my really I was actually looking at the original product listing, and it looks like it's like on Microsoft Paint. It's pretty funny. But yeah, threw those up on FBA and went back to work in the field and just was logging into my Seller Central, and one day I just made a sale, and I was like, oh man, like cool. I made some money online. Then logged in another day, and I was selling like three or four of these a day, and I don't know, maybe making $8 each or something.
Nice.
So that got me really fired up. I was like, oh man, like, okay, I kind of like validated like this can work. I kind of figured out how this whole process of buying something on Alibaba, throwing it on Amazon works. But turns out these chess clocks were absolute garbage. They averaged like a 2.9 review. They were just junk, to be honest. So the returns start coming in, like 50% return rate. I'm like, all right, that maybe wasn't the right direction. But decided I would fly to China and like give this thing a go. So meanwhile, I had spent a lot of time living in Scandinavia and Sweden, and they're really into their like minimal kind of like Scandinavian inspired decor. And I was doing like the keyword research at the time, and kind of fell upon clocks as a niche, desk and wall clocks, and just kind of realized like everything for sale in the North American marketplaces were like these really generic, just wall clocks. And like all these ones I see in Sweden are like have like really cool minimal designs. So I flew to China, went to the Canton Fair, and just started looking at thousands of clocks at these trade shows, totally overwhelmed by everything. And eventually found like a couple of clocks I wanted to sell. I think I launched three of these kind of like minimal, cool desk clocks.
Okay.
And one of them was a pretty big hit. I was selling 20 a day or something. So I was like, oh, this is cool. Turns out the quality was too, like the return
Oh
clocks are
no.
they're delicate. Like I didn't know what I was doing. So return rates were high, but I'm starting to make a little bit of revenue on this thing now. So that's kind of like where I started. And I just kind of kept going with it, refining the process, just started launching new clocks. Meanwhile, I'm still working as a geologist, reinvesting everything back into the business. I didn't take a penny out of the business for the first 4 or 5 years. It was just kind of like a side hustle. And just kind of linearly growing it, launching three or four products a year, and starts making you hit that six-figure mark, and you keep growing, and just kind of reached a point where this was in 2022, so I was 5 years into the business, and it had started to become something. Like I was approaching seven figures at this time, And I was working a lot in the business and I was working a lot as a geologist and I was getting so burnt out. I was probably pulling 80 hours a week, you know, working my corporate job, coming home, and I had so much Amazon stuff to do and just was kind of failing at my corporate geology job because I was so burnt out and failing. Like, just the business was just so unorganized, a total mess. So I kind of made the decision. I was like, oh, I got to pick one. I got to either like sell this thing and just focus on the career or take a break from the career and focus on Amazon. So obviously I decided the latter. I just, my contract ended at the time for work. So I was like, all right, this is a good time. Let's take a pause and just focus on the business for 6 months and see what that looks like for my life and how I feel. Yeah, so that was 2022 and I've been doing it full time ever since. So
Cool.
never went back. So
Wow,
just a full
man.
time e-com seller now.
That's great. Yeah, I took some quick notes and there's a lot there. I didn't want to interrupt, but that was a lot. So I might go back a little bit, just kind of like rehash some of the steps. So, yeah, I mean, I love the story. This is, I also try to tell people in the show too, right? You're taking action. So many people I still think are just, you know, learning and maybe in their corporate job wondering like when do they start or how to get started or when to, what's and you were just doing it, which is awesome. And it does seem like you had QC problems both even on the first one and on the like first couple of the clocks too, right? So
Yeah.
even going to China. So yeah, I mean maybe just talk about the quality experiences and maybe how you improved that, what you learned, and maybe how you improved the quality for those listening.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that clocks are, they're difficult e-commerce product because they're just delicate by nature. So
Yeah, I can.
returns come in one of two ways. They're kind of the clocks I sell are trendy home decor products. So people will order them and they just don't fit with the decor, and that's a return, and that's something I have to solve on the listing side. Like, just really drill in, have picture perfect color. Size is a big thing. Like, you got to really work on the scale of your images, make sure you drill into customers' minds, like, what is the actual size of this clock? So many returns are too big, too small. And then there's the quality side that has been an ongoing issue throughout the 10 years of doing e-commerce, but I've definitely dialed in the quality a lot. A lot of that just comes from coming out with new editions of the product. So usually I'll launch, you'll get all these returns, you get into, dive into the return data, and nowadays I just plug it into ChatGPT and get it to kind of summarize what's going wrong. And then you can usually find some trends. Like, I had one clock that the hands are super glued on. And the glue we were using, I think during shipping with the temperature changes, got brittle.
I've
So
had that in some other brand.
so it's always nuanced like that. Another one had a wooden lid on the back that you pull over to get to the battery, but during shipping the wood swells and people couldn't pull the back lid off. So you just reiterate in the next one, you take that back to the factory, you get them to solve that. A lot of packaging design as well.
Yeah.
Be real, like, really adamant about the drop test. I always get them to send me
Yeah.
photos of them just like throwing this thing on the ground and it's
Yeah.
got to survive the drop test. Yeah, sometimes you change materials. I've changed suppliers a lot if I can't get it right. That's another real advantage to going in person to these trade shows is I'll take some clocks with me and I'll just show them to different suppliers and say, hey, can you make this better? Can you make this cheaper? And I've really improved quality just by kind of cross-shopping different suppliers and getting them competing with each other. Because if you only have one, they know you're going to come back and they know you're just going to accept what they give you. So.
Yeah, there's a lot there. That's really helpful. I'll just put some of my takeaways and pointers too. I think what I got from that is, and I think it's for every seller, is it's kind of you're going deeper, right? You're learning a product line, right? So you're learning nuances of this product. I think that's why it's also hard for sellers to go multi-category. You're kind of like you're specializing, you're learning this category, you're learning this product. You're learning the problems, you're collecting the feedback, you're iterating, you're I don't know if you're making like a specification document, but you know, sometimes I collect these and I put it into my like docs. I give it to the supplier to show them sometimes what I don't want, right? Or what I want, but also what I don't want, so that they make sure to not do that. Do you use QC or not, a company like third party or?
Yeah, everything. Every time a factory's done the order, there's a third party
Yeah, I do that.
inspection that gets done.
Yeah, I think it's worth it. I mean, I don't know, some people don't do it, but you know, I think the ROI or cost balance to do that.
It's super cheap, and I don't know how thoroughly they're testing these products, but even to have that report, and I've used that
Yeah.
report so many times when I have issues with Amazon, I'm like, okay, here's my quality report, you
Exactly.
know.
There you go. That's I say the same thing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
small price to pay.
Exactly. It's kind of like, it's not really insurance, but it's in a way in my mind, it's like an insurance, right? I can say, hey, Amazon, I did do QC. Hey, even customer, hey, myself, when I'm trying to sleep at night, I did do this thing and I have this report. But I think it also makes the factory know you're more serious, right? You have some company showing up and checking things. Obviously, they're not, there's different ways you could do 100%, but I don't know about you, but I do like a spot check, right? They just pull a few different ones and test them out. And that's good to know. And you did this all with a team, any VAs, any team, or is it just you?
Yeah, I've been by myself for the whole
The
time.
whole, not even like a VA or anything?
No, the
Assistant?
only thing is I use designers to design the clocks now. I kind of stopped sourcing the pre-made trade show stuff because they don't really have the style that I'm going for. Chinese style is
Yeah,
much
well,
different.
that's value. That's your, this is actually IP and value and differentiation. So it's like a product
Absolutely.
designer, not like a graphic, like a product designer.
I've got a couple, but they're
Great.
kind of high-end
Yeah.
designers, and they draw me up. I kind of we can get into that a little later, but the process is quite
Yeah.
interesting.
Well, I mean, that's value, right? Like, you know, I think private, there's different definitions of private label. I sometimes make it our e-com meetup. We were at the e-com meetup Tuesday, and one guy's drop shipping, he's calling it private label drop ship, but he's basically taking a standard product, changing the packaging, and he's saying that's working now for drop ship. I don't want to knock drop ship, but I mean, he's doing good with it. He and a couple others there were talking about it, but yeah, I think you're doing the right way, right? It's harder, it's more expensive, but you're making your own product designs. So that's really good value, but that's amazing. No team, not even like, 'cause I don't know. I have, I think, well, I do a lot of stuff, but even with my Amazon, I have a team that helps me. I just feel more safe to have some people helping me or whatever you want to call it. But this is cool. So yeah, sourcing, and then yeah, going to China. I agree. I know we've even met in China at the shows a couple of times, and F Chris's FBA for You meetups, which are great, and it definitely helps to meet them in person to show them who you are. Have you visited factories too, or?
Yeah, I visit the factories too.
Okay.
Songzhou is where they're all
Okay.
located, so
Okay.
great
Okay.
little train ride away. But yeah, it's definitely worth it to get FaceTime with your suppliers, both the sales rep and then the bosses too, just so they know who you are. And I do feel like they go that the extra mile when they've met you in person, for sure.
Now I get it. And thanks for, saying some of the problems you've had. I also had the heat problem. That is a true problem. I sold tabletop tables, folding tables for beer pong. And while I wasn't the end seller, I was sourcing it at the time, and the buyer got kind of creative and put a sticker on top of this table. And then the heat in the summer in the US was so hot that it would melt the glue, and it would dry but not stick. You know what I'm saying? So it would basically kind of not, it would bubble or a crack or come off, or it wouldn't stick back down. So it'd be like these bubbles on the. So obviously, yeah, I think maybe it's a part of the process, but yeah. So the factories just sometimes say, well, that's what you told me to do, or you didn't tell me you needed it for a hot boiling heat, or blah, 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 right? That's what the factories a lot of times tell us. So
There's a lot of it's just a lot of nuance to every product. Like
exactly.
I have a couple of my clocks are they're digital clocks, and so these clocks always from the factory come with a watch cell battery in them, and it's to provide like backup power in the event that there's a power outage. And I a couple of years ago I just had this huge issue because they came out with this regulation with
Yeah,
this thing called Reese's
batteries.
Law. Yeah, so I had to pull all my digital clocks from Amazon. I had to like get rid of this battery and kind of like cover it with a sticker, and it cost me
Yeah,
tens of thousands of
I
dollars.
know, man.
So anyway, I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, why do we even need this stupid battery? Like, I'm from Canada and we have a pretty stable power grid, and I've never like there's a power outage once every 3 years. So I pulled all the batteries from these clocks, and I start getting all these returns, and I didn't realize that like people in Florida and Texas, they have like a lot more power outage issues, and it's actually like quite a big thing for them to have this backup battery, and they're always just complaining. I was like, oh man, like I had no idea people even needed something like this. So it's like
Yeah,
these
dude.
geographical nuances too.
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think this is part of our journey as an entrepreneur or seller, as physical products too, right? I mean, I guess I'll throw in another quick story. Is I had a recall with a coffee pot, and there's obviously a long and a short, but the short is we took some accessories out because the customers didn't seem to even care about this extra bonus stuff, but we didn't shrink the box, so the pot kind of shook in the box and it snapped the handle of this coffee pot off. Man, I don't think it was that wobbly, but there was a like a little gap from the ex. That was hell. We had to recall that. We had to basically bubble wrap it extra in the US and then send it back in. But yeah, all these things you learn. And but I think that's what makes the business valuable. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. And we gotta keep pushing on. But I kind of want to know a little bit more about the personal story. I know you did a business and your job, and there's 2017 and 2022, and now you're here in Thailand. So maybe give us some insights. Canada, Sweden, Thailand, like what are some dates of these moves, right? Like was it direct
Yeah.
Thailand in 22, or what was kind of this? It was like quit your job, go to Thailand, or was there something in the middle?
So yeah, I was working in the Arctic Circle in Sweden till 2020, and I moved back home to Canada with my partner at the time. And so we were living in Canada for a couple of years. We eventually split up, and I was just kind of thinking to myself, I was like, the entire reason I built this business was for freedom.
Yeah.
And now I'm just kind of like a single guy. I've got remote income. I don't have very much responsibility. It's like, this is the time to just go
Heck
live your
yeah,
life,
like
you know?
heck yeah, man.
So, and also, Canada's expensive. And it was just to the point where I was pulling 80 to 100% of the profit out of my business to live in Canada. And I was just kind of flatlining. Like I couldn't grow anymore, and just kind of living a very middle class life in Canada, and just like not particularly enjoying it. So because I had no profit left in the business, I decided to take out a massive line of credit in the beginning of 2024 to grow the business. I took a 50K line of credit and quickly maxed this out, and it became 100K, which I didn't have the facilities for. I only had a 50K line of credit. So I was like dipping into my personal finances just because it was a good lesson. Like I just really poorly modeled my cash flow, and the cash calls were just a lot more than I had anticipated. So it was just kind of like living through hell, like just on the verge of bankruptcy with a profitable business too. It's just really
Crazy.
poor cash management. So all that kind of culminated, and I was like, all right, what's the easiest thing to do here? And it's just I call it outsourcing myself, like or offshoring myself, I should say.
Yeah.
I'm a
Outsource
solopreneur
yourself.
and I'm offshoring myself to Asia so I can pay myself a third of the salary. And so I did that. This year I sold everything in Canada and just decided to move to Asia. I'd been coming in the winters
Yeah, I
for
remember you
several
had been
years.
here before, and then I think we had met before you had moved permanently, right? If I
Yeah.
recall correctly, you were at our events or our meetups, and then I think you had come back permanently.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, yeah, if I mean it's, you know, I mean, I'm not a lot of people listen to this, maybe not watch, but if you're watching, you know, I have a background Global from Asia in our show, and it you're kind of like saying the story of our kind of like this show, right? Like it's just like the logo, even. I don't know if you know. The logo is a man with the city on his back, like Atlas Shrugged and Rand, and it's kind of like throwing that off his shoulder, this burden of society. It's kind of an Ayn Rand Atlas Shrugged reference when I made this logo. And you know, like it's, you know, I don't feel like getting political or, you know, like, but like you're just saying, just the facts are it's super expensive in Canada, right? And you're just like working or building your business just to get by when you should be a little bit more comfortable for the work you've done and what you've built. And it's kind of a sad state of affairs, it feels. I haven't even been back to the States in 8 years now. If you believe it. So it seems like you right moves. I mean, maybe like give us some recaps how you're feeling. It seems like, you know, your life story here, your adult life story, you know, like just to recap, you know, you were working in mining, going to Sweden. I've been to Gothenburg once, just for
Oh,
FYI. There's a story there for you, but it was a good time. It was just a few days. I was in Finland mostly for a joint venture I was doing in. But yeah, I've been up there. It's pretty nice. And then you were, yeah, just looking for another way. Yeah, Googling passive income, which is cool. So then just to go back to that, it's like FBA was kind of the main thing. Like, of course, Startup Bros and their community was always talking about FBA. And then, yeah, doing an order. Clock, chess cl clocks. And yeah, I mean, it's a cool journey. And then you were doing that for 5 years, 17 to 22. And then you decided to make the full-time jump. Stayed in Canada mostly, came here to Thailand in the winters, and then decided to go full-time here in 24. Is that generally?
Yeah, that's it. Except, yeah, moved here full time this year, 25. Or I guess it's 26 now, but moved here in 2025.
Okay.
So yeah, it was kind of a gradual thing. Like, yeah, the big choice to quit the job in 2022, and then the big choice just to kind of offshore myself. And it's been great. My biggest regret is not doing this 3 or 4 years ago, honestly. I've since paid back the massive business line of credit.
Great, great.
Businesses. It's cash positive, and it's just taken
Congrats.
an extreme stress and load off my shoulders. I remember when we had met at the beginning of the year, I was telling you I was going to sell my
Yeah, I
business.
remember.
So burnt out, and it was mostly from the financial side, but just having, like, if I had a bad month on Amazon, I was like struggling to pay the bills, you know, especially when I had that big line of credit out. So now it's just you make way more than you ever need, and you live a way better life in Asia, and I can just kind of focus on growing the business with cash again, which is it's a really nice feeling.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, it's you know, of course, selling. There's nothing wrong with selling. And we've got a lot of people in the community and show that have sold. I've sold some, but I don't want to say I regret. But there are times. It also depends when you sell, right? And the valuation you get. But I think now with AI and everything, personally, I think older, a little bit more established brands with some history have more value. Personally, we'll see how that pans out. But it's. I'm glad you're out of the debt or the financing debt. And, you know, again, I don't want to be like a conspiracy, but this is like the system, right? To get us on this track where I feel like they just, you know, like get us into this burden of debts and into like this cycle, right? Where we're just paying the system to get by, you know, and you broke free. I feel like, yeah, you've broken
I
out
got
of that.
left the rat race, man. That's what I
Yeah,
tell
dude,
everyone
the
back home. And
Matrix.
you see all your friends who are still in the rat race, and you see it from the outside, and you just, it's not for me.
I feel so. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've really almost lost touch. Some of my, I've even somewhat not fallen out, but I don't know. I feel like so disconnected. Some of my friends, like I reach out to them. You know, I used to try to kind of help them to join. You know, help them, but I just feel like, you know, hometown friends, school friends, like they're just different than us, it seems, by this age, right? I mean, I hope they can still break free, but yeah, I would go back and they were always so busy, jobs and then thing, you had to like schedule it like weeks in advance and wait for like a Friday night or a Saturday or something, and everybody's just so busy. Yeah, it's really
Yeah,
sad.
then they cancel the
Exactly.
organizer for a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was just me. Yeah, they would cancel it too. Yeah, that's actually why I got upset a couple of times. Yeah, exactly. Anyways, well, we're in a new world, and I hope they can. Some of your friends or my friends can join us. I've kind of a little bit taken a break from trying, but they're welcome if they reach out. I can help them. So, getting towards the end here. I mean, this has been a fun one, but I think maybe some tools, strategies, some things that you want to share that have helped you in this journey.
Yeah, sure. So I often kind of think about like what's my special sauce, or like what can I bring to the table of e-commerce? What am I good at that other people maybe not are? And I think for me, like coming from this kind of science background, is my entire career as a geologist, I'm just dealing with big data sets all the time. Like I just grew up on Excel, and I love Microsoft Excel. It's the only software I use. I don't use any software except Excel, and I
Wow.
just built these massive data sets and just use spreadsheets for everything. In particular, I've kind of like created my own seller board, I guess.
Nice.
So it's not automated, unfortunately. So it literally requires me
Yeah,
like
we've
20 or
chatted
30
about
minutes every
this.
day. Yeah, I just go into the Seller Central and I pull all the sales data and I just input it into this giant sheet. But so this sheet is set up where I have just like your basic things like sessions, units sold, conversion. But I break it down on a child level every day. And then I pull other data like percentage of sales from organic, tacos, ACOS. And then and right beside that, I have all my year over year data of the exact same metrics. And kind of by inputting this manually every day, I can just really get granular with
Yeah.
each product. And I can just really quickly identify trends. I can say like, oh, what, like this child of this particular parent, the sessions have really dropped off, or CVRs dropped off. And then you can ask yourself why. And it kind of creates this investigation. Is there a competitor? Did I get a frequently returned badge? Do I not have Prime eligibility anymore? Maybe my keywords aren't bid high enough. So by doing this and just like getting really granular with the data, that's what been my focus for the entire last year, is just getting really granular with the data and just squeezing every drop of profitability I can from the business. And by doing this, I've gone from 14% net to 20 with the exact same products and just relentlessly split testing prices. Yeah, with the sheets I track, I think a really important KPI is profit per session. I think that's a really good way to get a high level view of how your ski was doing, and that kind of filters out differences in ad spend. So just comparing my year over year profit per session, is it up or is it down? And then asking why, and then investigating into that. So sorry, I went on a bit of a rant there,
No,
but
this is helpful. I'm taking some notes here. I think I see in the notes, I didn't mention it, but how many ASINs or SKUs is this you're doing manually?
I think I have about 12, 14
Okay.
parents, and then maybe 40 with children, like 40 children SKUs.
So you man, we should talk about automating. I think you've heard me talk at Summit and things, but maybe typing it in is it does. I do that for my morning journal personally. Like I have a journal where I put my sleep and different things, and I fill it out manually. Maybe it does, like you say, forces you to really, because you're not just type, you're not just doing data entry. You're looking, you're thinking, you're reviewing, you're comparing, you're digging, right? So it does sound like a pretty practical thing. Although the Amazon API, I don't even know anymore if it. I know they charge, but somebody says it can be free if you just use it for yourself. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe doing it manually is a helpful way, even if it could be automated, right? I mean, would you still do it manually if you could automate it?
Yeah, like I mean, I've tried a lot of software, and the reason I started just billing everything on Excel was the software, often there's just like glitches with the API call, or I would just like kind of trust this data it's given me. And then one day I would decide to like dig into it and it just wasn't right. There's just some error. And I started to get really frustrated. I just kind of came to the conclusion, I was like, well, if you want really accurate reporting, the only real way to like trust the data is just get it yourself. It de definitely could be automated, but I really truly believe by just, as you said, taking the time to think
Yeah,
about it instead of having it presented to
I
you,
think
it's really valuable.
it is true. I mean, I feel the same. Like, it's automatic, so you don't even really check it, right? Oh, it's getting collected. Maybe I glanced at it, but yeah, I think by actually having the habit, about how much time would that be per day, per time?
Said 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's faster than I thought. Okay.
Yeah, I've got it. So I have all my sheets are sorted in alphabetical order in the exact order that I get it on Seller Central. So I've
Okay.
literally got one hand on my keyboard, one on the numpad, and it's so fast. I
Wow.
really am just a speed runner with that.
Got it. All right. But it does seem
Another.
like, oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go, yeah, please.
Sorry, I was just to kind of switch gears a bit. Another thing that I pivoted to in the last year and a half is I started using Chinese 3PL for all my products.
Cool.
And so I don't think I got into this, but yeah, I sell on USA, Canada, and Australia right now.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, I was running into this issue where I used to just go direct everything into FBA, but with all these new kind of inventory restrictions, you can't have too much, you can't have too little. I was just always running into problems where I couldn't send a shipment in or I had to send way too much and get inventory overages. So I decided to just send everything to a singular warehouse in China, and then I can consolidate all my different factory orders into little ones and just trickle that into FBA. I don't
Right.
even use AWD anymore, and it's really helped me increase profitability as well.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome. Is Justin or?
Yes, Justin,
Oh, okay.
Easy China Warehouse, first showed
Okay.
up. They're great. They're great. I've had a lot of
Awesome.
success with them. Yeah.
Great, great. Yeah, I'm also a part of the partner, so that's good to know. Yeah, great, man.
Glad I'm helping you out,
Yeah,
man.
sure. I mean, no, it's what we want is that's why it was built to help sellers like you get better options. So that's great. And then, I'm looking at my notes, but I think we covered a lot. And is there other things? I mean, I know we could probably talk all about AI, and I know we chatted before we had to record, but about both of us feeling FOMO and overwhelmed with AI tools. But I don't know if, whoa, you heard that door slammed. I don't know if you want to share some of them or some things you think are helpful for you, or how you feel about all this AI stuff with e-com and FBA.
Yeah, sure. I'll try not to go on a rant
I
and put
know.
it in. I'll give just a quick little kind of tidbit of what I'm using AI for right now, because I think it's quite interesting. I don't see a lot of people doing this. So kind of in the seller communities I'm a part of, everyone says like they never use generative AI for their Amazon listings because it just looks like AI. But with Nano Banana Pro and TikTok's new image gen, they've got extremely good in the last 3 months.
Dude.
So what I'm doing is I've gone through all of my products and I've redone all my photography using AI, and I'm split testing everything, and my CVR is almost, it's up across the board pretty significantly, because I can just create these picture perfect scenes. And it's especially important with like desk clock or desk and wall clocks I sell that are
Yeah.
these trendy home decor products, and I can just stage them perfectly. So I use this software called Higgs Field, which allows you to essentially generate 8 nano banana images at once. Instead of using the actual nano banana from Google, you can only do one at a time and it's slow. So I pretty much describe to ChatGPT what I want the scene to look like, and I tell it to make me a nano banana prompt, and it gives me this really technical prompt with aperture size and what kind of studio lighting. And you use that, plug it into nano banana, and you just keep iterating and iterating, and you can just get these really nice shots. Usually I do have to go into Photoshop after and just clean up like the random artifacts and stuff. But I think that's the future. And I think people can, especially if you don't have great product photos, just plug it into an image generator and see what you can do.
I read some tweets recently, and they said like e-commerce maybe in the future is not as much about the marketing and all this, right? The advantage might be for people like us, like you, and we have established products and brands, so and supply chains, and now we just keep tapping into these newest tools and staying ahead or at least at par with others, and we should be able to ride this wave, right? That's kind of how that got me a little bit hyped up because I do feel this FOMO, right? But you're implementing, you're reviewing your numbers, you're improving your listing, you're watching your number, you're improving the supply chain. I think this is like what sellers should be focusing on, right? Like it's kind of a good reflection of that for myself, as well as probably a lot of other sellers listening. All right, buddy. Well, this is always more than I expected, and I appreciate everything here. And thanks for sharing. Is there ways people could find you, things you want to, get out there for us to link to, or?
You can just, if you ever have any questions about, moving to Asia or about e-commerce in general, you can just reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's probably the easiest. Cameron Alessandrini. Last name is spelled Alessandrini. It's a doozy. But yeah, shoot me a message.
I mean, I have a simple Michelinie at the
Yeah,
end,
right.
high and high,
Italian.
Italian there. Awesome, buddy. It's been a real pleasure. I can't wait to see you. We're probably not even far from each other. Sorry,
Yeah.
online stuff is easier, but it's been a pleasure to have you on the show and your story. And it was inspirational for me, and I'm sure many others. So have a great day ahead. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mike. Nice catching up, and we'll catch up in person soon.
And that's a wrap on episode 483. Huge thanks to Cameron Alessandrini for sharing his journey from Google employee to seven-figure Amazon seller.
If you're thinking about starting your own e-commerce brand, Cameron's story shows it's possible. Start small, test with a few thousand dollars, learn from the Canton Fair, and optimize relentlessly.
Key takeaways from today. Start with a small test order to validate your idea. Location arbitrage can supercharge your runway. Think Chiang Mai, Bali, or other low-cost bases. Track everything in a spreadsheet: sessions, conversions, profit per session. AI tools are becoming game changers for product images and content.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps us reach more entrepreneurs like you. Connect with Cameron on his socials and check out his clock brand. Links are in the show notes. Until next time, keep building, keep growing, and stay global.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.